knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight.
I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a Christian caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
Why don't you go first?
My bright spot is actually... for the past couple of months, I've been transposing my manuscript that'd be my second draft. And today I finished it.
Congratulations.
So I think my plan, and I've actually been secretly, I guess, streaming it as almost like a Bob Ross kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I've got hours upon hours of me actually just writing the thing and talking during it.
Talking about pretty little trees that you're describing.
Yeah, basically. And the reason that there hasn't been a Bob Ross of literature is because it's incredibly boring.
Mm-hmm.
Art,
paintings, visual.
Visually far more satisfying than somebody just kind of going, that sucks. I'll rewrite that.
More coffee.
Yeah. So I've decided that I think for my third rewrite, I'm going to read the whole manuscript from start to finish on stream.
Okay.
I don't know when.
Well, at least
we'll see what happens.
I mean, that's kind of like an audiobook form
that's
as
what
opposed to somebody, you know, editing in real time or whatever in terms of like, you know, what you would imagine is appealing entertainment.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think it's going to be an interesting thing. It's probably going to take about 2.5-3 hours.
Fun.
And I'm going to try and do it all in one sitting. So it'll be interesting.
Do you know when you're going to do that?
Probably next week sometime.
Okay.
If you look, maybe you'll find it.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I'm enjoying keeping it kind of hidden, I guess.
Yeah, don't snitch.
I'm a weirdo. What's your bright spot?
So I mentioned previously, a little while back, that there's some buttons.
Yes.
And there are some buttons.
There are some buttons.
Or is the
there
fucking
are a
British
lot of
people like to point out their badges. Whatever.
Boo.
Don't care.
Boo.
So they're going to come out gradually. You know, obviously some have gone out already and what have you. But first of all, Canada, you're going to have to hold your horses because Canada Post's been on strike. So we're not sending those out.
We're not crossing the picket lines.
No. So Canada is going to have to wait and all that. But the other thing that I wanted to bring up, and this is a happy 2025 kind of thing.
Yeah.
I announced that 200 of the new buttons would be glow in the dark.
Yes.
I really severely underestimated how exciting this idea was.
Everybody asked for a glow in the dark.
Fucking glow in the dark buttons. So there's a part of me that's like, I cannot go back on what I said. There are 200 of the new button design that are glow in the dark.
Yes.
But I don't want people to feel like they're totally missing out. So now there will also be a bunch of other old button designs that are also glow in the dark.
Okay. All right.
So so you might get one of those.
All right.
Might
all
get
right.
An, like an old Celine button glow in the dark.
No, there's something
remade
to be said.
Special
there's something
edition.
To be said for creating the special experience of exclusivity while at the same time creating a certain realistic understanding of the world through the loss of exclusivity. Well, I don't understand.
It kind of sucks because the idea of having like 3 or 4 what's your bright spot buttons.
Yeah.
That is exclusive to a level that's like, well, you can't really expect that this is going to show up. But if hey.
No one gets the golden ticket, but somebody gets the golden ticket.
Right. But if you have 200, it becomes too much like, hey, can I get... You
know, sure.
It makes you feel like, no, I actually am excluding people.
Yeah.
It feels bad.
I
learned.
You know, when you're talking about... I get that a few is different, but I mean, 5% still has an expectation of there's a 95% chance you're not going to get one.
On paper.
True.
You don't know what that does to people's brains.
People
though.
Can't estimate. They're really bad at it. That's yeah. true.
So anyway, I'm excited. These will be coming out in the new year and such.
I'm excited too.
And so please enjoy in good health.
Mm-hmm.
So Jordan, today we have an episode to go over.
Okay.
Alex is gone again.
Okay.
So
vacation has been a long vacation, huh?
Uh-huh.
Having a great time.
So we'll get down to business on what we're doing. But first, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, I found out one of my bosses at work listens to InfoWars, and now I'm worried. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
You should be worried.
Yeah.
Next, in times of turmoil, in times like these, if you have ghosts, you have everything. Hail Papa. Hail Celine. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And shout out to Celine's platypus. I hope she joins the YouTube menagerie. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we had a technocrat in the mix, Jordan.
Ooh.
So thank you so much to Brianna and Taylor from Occupied Texas. If you could wish Brianna a Merry Christmas, that would be awesome. Thank you so much. You're now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
So Alex is on another vacation.
Okay.
Over the week of America Fest, he was in the desert, likely hanging out around the festival, trying to make sure all the cool kids on the scene, like Tucker, don't forget about him.
Sure.
Even though he wasn't a speaker.
Right.
Cool, man. Just crash the party.
Yeah, be there.
So now he's off somewhere in the snow. So I know it's not Texas. I just keep flashing in my mind to all of these stupid rants that he goes on about how he can't accept Rogan's invitations to go to the comedy club because he's in straight up war mode.
Yeah.
And then I see him taking the second destination vacation in less than a month. And it makes you wonder how any of these people who listen to him can take his pleas for money seriously. Like,
yeah.
This is comic level stuff. He's like in a ski chalet.
Yeah, we need money for me to go on the Black Diamond course.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not the sales pitch.
Yeah, so also- he's been shooting videos of himself outside with snow behind him.
Also,
kind of rubbing it in a little.
Also, the other implication being is I am stealing money from the families.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
me money so I can steal more from the families.
But
yeah.
that's the part that is what the audience can be trained to accept.
Yeah.
They can be trained to accept I'm stealing from the families.
Sure.
Because to them, the Sandy Hook plaintiffs and families, right, they probably are the CIA. And all
absolutely.
They don't really want the money. They just want to shut Alex down.
It's Hillary and gun control.
Stealing from them, I don't think the audience would find all that objectionable.
No.
But he's stealing from them, too.
Yeah.
And maybe they should think about that a little bit.
Well, you'd think if somebody was stealing from some person, you might guess it's possible they could steal from more people.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows?
Yeah.
Yep.
So we start off with a December 31st,
mm-hmm.
New Year's Eve.
Oh, no.
Chase is hosting.
Oh, God.
But Alex there's a little video of him
okay.
that starts the show. So we'll see where things were as 2024 came to a close.
Okay.
So on this historic December 31st, 2024 transmission, the last day of this incredible year of the populist uprising against the globalists worldwide, let me just restate some key facts here. All right. I know almost all of you already understand this, but I want people to see this in its totality, then we're going to walk through it. They tried to pass a spending bill 2 weeks ago that would give them all this unconstitutional martial law, medical tyranny powers, and the funding. That failed. But they already had the PSYOP rolling out that Tedros, the WHO, and Dr. Hotez and others a month ago were bragging about. Don't worry, we're going to maintain our control over the world. There's going to be a new pandemic or pandemics. There's a secret disease in the Congo killing everybody with blood coming out of their eyes. Turned out that was all a lie. It was malaria. They tried mpox and monkeypox. It was just changing the name the last few years. Nothing is working because the vast majority of people see through it.
If the globalists have an elaborate plan that involves releasing a bioweapon and doing all this pre-scripting on TV in advance, I really don't think they would leave it all down to a last-minute spending bill that could pass or fail. Alex is imagining the globalists are these arch villains, but they also have grand plots that sound like a teenager came up with them. Like, I'll take over the world, but only if Dad lets me borrow the car. It sounds fucking idiotic. And he expects us to believe this. Nah.
The idea that they could have a, like, okay, if you're saying that they're doing it during the regular course of a presidency that they have control over, right, and there's a bill and it could pass or fail, then you could be like, oh, this is just to show the masses that it, the system still works, it's all an illusion, that kind of thing. Now, if they have a bill that fails, that just means they suck, right?
I guess.
Yeah, they're just bad at what they do. It's nobody's paying attention. It's in the middle ground before, like, you've got nothing to lose.
Yeah, I think I don't know what anything means about governing anymore.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
So I don't know. I don't know what is a success and what is a failure for
also a fair point
for anyone in Congress. But I do know for Alex that the story has to be exciting.
Yeah.
And the spending bill failing initially has to be some sort of big misstep by the globalists.
Yeah.
And it's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, if they wanted to do something like what Alex is describing, we'd all be dead.
Yeah, the globalists have been foiled by Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a cartoon. It's bullshit.
It's ridiculous.
So in the case of the illnesses in the Democratic Republic of Congo, Alex misreported that story initially, and because of that, he's now acting like the globalists are walking back their virus hysteria because this spending bill failed. In reality, there was an undiagnosed condition in Congo which caused symptoms that applied to 406 people between October 24th and December 5th. This set off alarms because there were higher rates of this condition than would be expected from seasonal illnesses among children, and the death rate was also higher, with 31 deaths registered in that time frame. When the World Health Organization made an alert about this, they called it a, quote, undiagnosed disease. But in their report about this very thing, where they're calling it an undiagnosed disease, they said, quote, malaria is a common disease in this area, and it may be causing or contributing to the cases. Laboratory results are underway to determine the exact cause. This was an alert about a condition that was hurting a remote population of people in a rural area, which is about a 48-hour drive from Kinshasa. It was about how health services can address this issue that's killing these people, not really an alert about something that posed a severe outbreak potential. As the report itself says, quote, at the regional and global levels, the risk remains low at this time. Alex and his dipshit media space ran with this and exaggerated it out into being the new Ebola-type illness that the globalists are rolling out to be the new COVID. They whipped up a hysteria in opposition to the imaginary hysteria that they were pretending that the globalists were engaged in. And now more information has come back in, and those laboratory tests that the WHO was conducting in early December have come back. They've found additional cases that match the disease symptoms, and that 430 out of 891 cases tested positive for malaria or common respiratory viruses. Thus, they made the assumption that, quote, these findings suggest that a combination of common and seasonal viral respiratory infections and falciparum malaria compounded by acute malnutrition led to an increase in severe infections and death, disproportionately affecting children under the age of 5. Mm. Alex and his world are ready to pounce on any public health related news in order to sell it as the next thing the globalists are trying to make you afraid of. But all they're really doing is trying to make you afraid of what they're pretending the globalists are doing. Nothing that World Health Organization said was fake. They were clear that malaria and other seasonal illnesses could be contributing to the situation that was at that point undiagnosed, and that they were seeing more severe cases and deaths than you would expect if it were just the case that it were malaria.
Right.
They noted that, did further testing, and came to the conclusion that a lot of it is in fact malaria and common respiratory viruses exacerbated by malnutrition. And here's the important point. The World Health Organization's conclusion isn't, oh, well, it's no big deal because it's just malaria. They're still working to address logistical issues about how to help people in this remote area, because their alert wasn't about kicking off a virus panic. It was about responding appropriately to an epidemiological signal. It's not a bust because it won't be able to be used to force Alex and his friends into a lockdown, but that's how Alex relates with the story. He doesn't care anymore, so he's pretending that the globalists don't care anymore because they don't get to use it as the new COVID.
Yeah.
And that's bullshit.
Yeah.
That's him. He's talking about himself.
I wonder, okay, let me throw this idea out at you, okay? Instead of having just press conferences where very clearly educated and experienced people do their best to explain very difficult concepts to the rest of us, we have varying levels of educational press conferences, right? So up here at the top, we have medical experts who are explaining all these specific things. But then we also have a broadcast down here that's like, we don't know for sure, but in a non-worrisome way. And that's it.
Well, I mean, I think I've seen it suggested on YouTube. There are like videos where someone tries to explain some topic to a child, an adult, a teen.
I don't think that's a terrible idea.
Maybe. So we got a new condition
that
we're dealing with.
Yeah.
And it's not this thing in the Congo.
Right.
It's not. Maybe it's H1N1. Maybe. Who knows?
Be.
But what we're really dealing with is leaky vaccine.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, it's a new term.
It's leaky?
Leaky vaccine.
Leaky? What does that mean exactly what I think it does?
I think so.
Oh, God.
What Dr. Peter McCullough and others have broken down, and we've shown these graphics, we'll show them again, and we posted them on Infowars.com and at Real Alex Jones on X. You can check it for yourself, is they have the history of these mutations, and we know that that was being researched at these labs. And then virologists are able to look at that and see that it's clearly been accelerated in its evolution. And then if you give people these experimental shots while the wild viruses are out there, it will cause them to have more accelerated evolution, or the popular parlance, leaky vaccine. So this is the worst thing they could do, even if they weren't the ones that made this new H1N1, that they're now sitting back saying is about to jump into humans in a really bad way, because they've got the next version clearly on the shelf, which they admit they have. I mean, these people aren't even hiding the stuff. And if they don't start going to prison, they're going to release something far worse on us. So let's recap.
Is that
what
we're doing?
Shot down their funding for this. We've shot down their global UN treaty. You've had their spokespersons like Tedros and Burks and Hotez running around saying, don't worry, a new pandemic's coming. That's how we'll keep control. It's going to come crashing in on Trump. They don't even hide the fact to their political minions that, hey, they're doing this for political power, and, hey, wear the mask and keep America shut down. And that's a huge takeaway, that the left, a lot of them are actually conscious of this and love the cult's power and enjoy being abused by it because they have mass Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, so this all makes sense.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah, so you can see there, this is like sort of, there's cuts.
Yeah.
And this is all pre-recorded because he's jumping around.
Yeah, because he's skiing right now.
Yeah. Probably in between slopes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So yeah, we got leaky vaccine.
That actually makes me very angry.
Sure. No, and it is cause to be mad, because what he's describing is a phenomenon that we've talked about in the past, which is, the way that large percentages of unvaccinated populations can lead to resurgences and mutations of conditions that are vaccine treatable.
Yeah.
We're probably going to see that in the not too distant future with polio.
Totally.
It's all entirely predictable, and
you got to do better than leaky that makes me so mad. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how to begin to describe, like, did you just say leaky vaccine?
Leaky.
No. Did you just say leaky vaccine as though that's comprehensible as an issue?
Well, it's leaking.
Who? What?
It's leaking.
How?
From you.
From what?
So
where?
you get vaccinated, it's leaking out of you.
No.
Yeah.
J'accuse.
Well, there is a certain amount of reality to that with, like, polio vaccines, you know, like the version that the oral vaccine, people will get it.
Sure.
And they can extrude it in feces and other ways.
Yeah.
And if there's large enough populations that are unvaccinated, they can be very affected by this.
Yes.
In the same way that they would be by wild strains of polio. And this could be a very big problem. Now, choosing to describe you as leaky because you got vaccinated is a little stupid.
Yep.
But that's what he's trying to evoke.
Yeah. It's 28 days later kind of view of how things work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't want to cause panic, and I don't want to make anyone panic, but I think I think now is a great time to think about, being careful.
This is what I'm saying. We need differing levels. Like, clearly some people are not equipped to handle the concept of vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we need to have a lower level of, like, no, it doesn't. Don't even say leak. Mm-hmm. Don't even say it. I am mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say it.
So the globalists, they tried to push through the elaborate kill off everyone with the bioweapon plan.
Right.
But it failed. Because it went through Congress and
there
was a vote.
In a lame duck session.
Right.
Like when they should be forcing things through and then lying about it as opposed to literally failing.
You'd think.
Yeah.
But they're still up to no good.
What are you
going
to do?
Their plan failed, but they're still going along.
What are they
going
to quit?
Now, a lot of people ask me the question, if this whole biomedical system is being used by the globalists, as they admit it is, to try to bring in total control over society and depopulate and take control of our bodies, why, if it's been exposed, are they still running their operation? Because they built their whole globalist architecture at the UN and the WHO and these corporations to take control using a disease X. That's how I predicted it all and decades ago and laid out the lockdowns and the 6 feet apart and the mask and the shots and the quarantine camps because they'd war gamed it. They'd said they were going to use it for total control. And then when they collapse the third world from the lockdowns and people starve to death and we get flooded by the third world, they say, oh, it's global warming causing it. And when they say, oh, by 2030, there'll be mass depopulation from global warming. No, that's because of their policies cutting off the resources, cutting off the energy, cutting off the fertilizers. And that causes a collapse. And they say, oh, look, global warming, man-made, you caused it. This is their plan. This is the Rio de Janeiro post-industrial 1992 meeting. And this is Limits to Growth and the Club of Rome and their own admissions. Go watch the WHO or the WEF. I mean, go the World Economic Forum and all of them. And they admit all of this. and so finally people are going, wow, these people really are evil. They really are doing this. And I'm like, yeah, and let's organize and oppose it. And that's happening.
This is a prime example of Alex having stupid imaginary enemies. If they've been trying to use biomedical shit to kill off like 90% of the population, there's literally no reason they couldn't just push forward with it, no matter what Alex and his dumb friends do. The only possible explanation for the world that Alex describes is if he and the globalists are collaborating, and this is pro wrestling shit. They have to be enemies that don't actually want to win, but want to provide just enough opposition to make a good story out of the fight. When you watch wrestling, you have to forget that if it were a real fight, one of the people in the match would probably die. If very strong people throw each other around and hit each other in the face, one or both are going to suffer serious injuries really fast, and you just have to kind of ignore that in order to get absorbed into the story. Alex's fight with the globalists involves the same kind of kayfabe. If the globalists are these minions of the devil and they have plans to take over the Earth, there's no feasible reason why they haven't just done it already. They have nukes, control of the world's money supply, the ability to see the future, they control demons, they have the ability to make weather weapons, they have access to and willingness to release bioweapons. The list goes on and on. The only way any of this makes sense is if the globalists are playing the heel, acting like they have all this control in order for Alex to play the role of the babyface, the underdog who wins against all the odds stacked up against him. The reason this dynamic exists in Alex's narrative is because he's making all of it up. He sees himself as this plucky underdog who's going to take down the comically evil demons, so that's the way the enemy gets characterized. They don't make any sense in terms of motivation and their own internal reality because they're just props for him to fight against to get the audience to cheer for him. Alex has a lot of things there that look like sources that he points to, like the Club of Rome, Limits to Growth, the 1992 Rio de Janeiro meeting, but what does any of that mean? These are supposed to be examples where the globalists admit all of the things Alex claims they're doing? Where? Specifically, where? What in these reports are you talking about?
Mm.
Just the main report from the 1992 Rio meeting is 492 pages long.
Yeah, it's page 80.
Sure.
The whole page.
And you notice that he's saying the 92 Rio meeting because he can't say Agenda 21 anymore because it's 2025.
It is 2025.
Yeah.
It makes 21
sounds
really...
kind of stupid
it
that
does...
they're 4 years past when this plan was.
They are 10 years behind.
I guess so. So some people have no sources for the things they say, but Alex kind of has the opposite problem. He has a shitload of these sources that he can rattle off, but citing them means nothing. A source is only as good as you use it. Like, for example, an expert would probably look like an asshole if they just yelled the name of textbooks instead of trying to make specific points about the subject they're discussing. Like, if an anthropologist were trying to make a controversial point about human history, and when they needed to provide any backing for their claim, they just said, "It's all admitted," and yelled a bunch of textbook titles, most people would be able to see that they're bluffing their expertise. And that's what Alex is doing here when he rattles off his Club of Rome.
Yeah.
Limits of growth, blah, blah, blah. No. You don't know shit.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't just shout on the origin of species.
Mm-hmm.
on the origin of space. Actually, you know what? You can.
But what do you mean?
What don't I mean?
Great.
Yep. One.
No.
In the end.
Well, you know, I guess you could do that if you were arguing against Alex.
True.
And you wanted to argue for evolution.
I think if we just said
creationism,
names,
just yell origin species.
And then he'd yell Elysium, and then I'd yell Space
movie.
Odyssey 2001.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd just go back and forth with
it's
words.
Unproductive and fucking stupid.
It is not helpful.
In serious conversation with somebody,
true.
It becomes really obvious that this is dumb.
Yeah.
But because Alex is by himself in this cloistered bubble of idiocy,
yeah.
He somehow gets to pretend like these references mean anything.
Right. Right, because you don't have the space to argue with the things that you inherently disagree with. And the way that you work is you're willing to forgive the things you disagree with so you can focus on the things you already want to hear.
Yeah, and the things that he's arguing aren't even like what do we do with this citation? What do we do with it?
80.
Okay. Doesn't help.
No.
So this is how he wished us a happy new year.
Oh, okay. Is that the ball dropping? Was
yeah.
that...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was a pretty good countdown.
So we've cut to January 2nd.
Okay.
Thursday.
Uh-huh.
That's today as we're recording.
Right, he's back.
No.
Okay.
He's still in the ski lodge.
Oh, God, I hate that. That really does...
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think about it too long.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be quiet about that.
So Jace is hosting again.
Yeah.
Gotta feel bad if you're Harrison. Really, really got thrown out of the rotation.
Really feel like you should already have felt bad if you're Harrison.
You should also think about your resume.
Everything about
get another
your
job.
Your whole life needs to start from today and be different.
It's one thing if you're the new man at InfoWars and you're at the bottom of the totem pole.
Yep.
It's another thing if you came in at the bottom and then sort of rose and then dropped.
Yep.
That's bad.
That's not good, especially out of a very small stable.
At the stable of four.
Yeah.
Where one is entrenched.
Yep.
So it's always going to be the number two.
Right. He went to prison for it.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
Yeah. Owen ain't going anywhere.
He did time.
So you're not cracking into the two spot.
No.
Although Chase makes a decent case.
How about this?
Perpetual three.
He's number two in our hearts.
Yeah.
But... In a practical way, the hosting gig as a job, that's number two for Owen.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. If Alex had a situation where it was like a business Sophie's choice, he would choose Owen.
Yeah.
If it was an emotional one, he'd probably choose
exactly.
Chase.
Yeah. I actually don't like Owen.
So we go to the second.
Uh-huh.
There's some bad stuff that happened on New Year's.
That sounds right.
New Year's morning.
Okay.
There were some attacks.
Okay.
I'm sure you heard something about
I did hear that somebody may have acted alone.
Yeah. And there was also... So there was a car... a guy drove a car into a New Year's Eve celebration in
Jesus
New Orleans.
Jesus Christ.
And then there was also a Cybertruck that blew up in Las Vegas.
Sure.
So there were two things on New Year's morning.
Yeah.
That have the smell of terrorism to them.
Sure.
And so Alex obviously has got to get on.
I mean, you can't not.
No.
Yeah.
Get out in front of the snow
of
and
course.
Tell us your thoughts.
God, I hate him.
It's Thursday, January 2nd, 2025. I am your host, Alex Jones, and we are about to break down the latest intel on what's really happening with the two terror attacks we saw yesterday and what's coming next. Now, as we have precisely predicted in the last year,
precisely.
As soon as Trump became president-elect, the globalists would escalate war with Russia. They would launch a new pandemic hysteria. They would also try to pull the rug out from under the economy. They would then activate the ISIS Al-Qaeda cells that Biden, in the last 3 years, has resupplied with $80+ billion from the Afghan withdrawal and other funding. Then you saw the overthrow of Syria using Al-Qaeda, actually putting Al-Qaeda in charge of that country. So we know that the Democrats, that whole arm of the deep state, is openly running and controlling these groups. That doesn't mean that the useful idiots, the Islamicists from overseas and that they recruited here domestically, like the attacker on the New Year's revelers in New Orleans yesterday morning at 3 a.m. And now we know that the man that blew himself up in Vegas out front, Trump International Hotel, was also a bomb specialist from the same military base as the man who attacked and who was ISIS there in New Orleans, and his accomplices that have escaped and the ongoing manhunt for that. We're about to break down what all this really signifies right now.
So in the recent past, I've pointed out that Alex is predicting a giant attack on immigrants or black college because he's very concerned about getting out in front of a potential racially motivated act of domestic terrorism. I probably haven't been as specific as I could be about the fact that he's also laying the groundwork for this more general way to exploit tragic events that happen.
Sure.
But he is also, he's doing that.
Right.
The fundamental difference is that Alex is just exploiting these events. In the case of a racial or xenophobic act of terror, he would need to play defense, which is why he generally gets more into specifics about those kind of predictions, so he can invalidate their validity immediately.
Yeah.
In the case of events like this, the only goal is to mold whatever happened into existing storylines so they can be made profitable, but there's no threat to him that this attack in New Orleans or Las Vegas had.
Right.
Which is why it's just kind of convenient for
him. Right. In one prediction, this is a character choice I'm trying to protect. Mm-hmm. And in another, I can kind of fluidly go, oh yeah, I was predicting exactly that after the fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In New Orleans, around 3 a.m. on New Year's morning, a man named Shamsuddin Bahar Jabbar drove a white pickup truck into a crowd and then started shooting, ultimately killing 14 people and then dying in a shootout with the cops. He had an ISIS flag in his truck, but was also a U.S. citizen and served as an IT specialist in the Army until 2020, although his active service ended in 2015. He was from Texas, and at this point, it's unclear a lot more detail about what was up.
Sure.
How all this played out.
Sure.
At about 8:40 a.m. in Las Vegas, a man set off some explosives in a Tesla Cybertruck parked outside of the Trump International Hotel before shooting himself in the head. Seven people were injured, but that guy was the only fatality, and there's been no concrete connection made between these two incidents. The Army identified the guy was Matthew Allen Livelsberger, who's a master sergeant in the Army Special Operations, which is upsetting. There were a few commonalities between these events, probably largest among them being that the two were both in the Army. Beyond that, they also both used rental cars procured through Turo, which is a peer-to-peer car rental app. Neither of these connections are necessarily meaningful, but they're the kind of things that Alex will latch onto and call anomalies in order to push conspiracy narratives like he does about every tragic event that he feels like he can profit off of. And it's important to be careful with ascribing meaning to things that happened prematurely. For instance, the Las Vegas car bomb guy, he used an Elon Musk-connected car at a Trump-connected property. Is this a statement that the attacker is making, or is it possible that that was the car that was available on Turo at the time, and it's a coincidence? I don't know. It's possible. But whatever the case is with these things, whatever the reality that we end up learning when more information is known, it's tragic. These are tragic things that happen, and they suck. And that means that Alex sees dollar signs in them, which is why he's breaking into his vacation to make a little video trying to create conspiracies out of what are just tragic events.
Yeah. Yep. fuck me.
That's his business model, though.
Yeah.
This is like you got to strike when the iron's hot. That's what he does. This seems like a perfect kind of he probably woke up that morning and was like, sweet.
Yep.
Probably was like, this is I don't have to work at all today.
Yeah.
I am going to just riff on this.
I'm going
to
ski and make money today.
Yep.
Yep.
That's why you got to send in that video, though, because Chase isn't going to be able to
Jesus Christ
exploit things right.
Yep.
So Alex goes on about the attacker in New Orleans. Mm-hmm.
The first thing that needs to be said about the New Orleans terror attack using the truck and the accomplices and the state police and the FBI saying that there were other people working with the attacker that tried to plant and detonate bombs who then again escaped and are believed to have run to Texas and the ongoing manhunt in Texas and other areas of the country is that they themselves probably don't even know that they are cutouts of a larger globalist crime syndicate that we know is funding Al-Qaeda and ISIS and that directs their leadership. And of course, this has come out for decades after decades. It goes back to Jimmy Carter. It's been to Brzezinski in the late 70s.
Alex has no evidence that the New Orleans attacker had accomplices. The police say that there were two, quote, possible IEDs found in the French Quarter, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they were IEDs, nor does it establish that someone else was involved. The FBI is investigating the possibility of accomplices, but have indicated that they're pretty sure he acted alone. And yet, Alex is up here doing this reporting. And keep in mind, he knows nothing. He's just recording a video on his phone from the ski resort because he knows that it's a hot topic for the audience and that Chase can't transition sales to Alex Jones' store.
Yeah.
He's not good at the call to action. So you need Alex to show up because obviously maybe we'll get an increase in viewers. If they just tune in and see Chase, probably going to turn it off.
Yeah. Yeah. If you wanted to say that they acted with somebody, there's a part of me that might say, you know, they acted with the military. They acted with going back and back. You know, it's stop. No more wars. That'll
it'd be nice.
Yeah.
So Alex wants to get to the big picture.
Yeah.
Next, I'm going to get into the big picture and who I see behind this, and strategically where these moves are going. So there's thousands of data points that go into this, but I'm going to try to just break them all down so that we can put a warning out to the public and a warning out to President Trump, because you can better believe the deep state is heavily involved in these attacks and more are coming.
Is anybody doing anything?
No, and actually,
he's got to throw to a video because he's like, I'm going to get into the big picture and tell you everything. I got to take a break. I don't know what I'm
literally.
I had to collect my thoughts because I can't provide that right now.
Literally can't do his job in the middle of not doing his job.
Right.
Actively not doing his job, and he still has to take time out to be lazy about it. Amazing.
Yep.
It's almost. It is a nesting doll of fucking laziness.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the globalists are up to their neck in this thing. They're
okay.
They're very clear. This is all a psyop.
They can't even pass a bill, but fine.
Yeah, but
sure.
But they can do psyops.
Why not?
All day.
They're great at that.
Big picture, I see this as an ongoing psyop destabilization campaign, just like the UAV hysteria, just like the escalation of war and the bombing inside Russia with heavy cruise missiles. Attackums and Storm Shadows and others. And then we see the Iranian connected individuals and Pakistan, Al-Qaeda and ISIS connected individuals being, quote, busted trying to kill Trump in the last few months. And we have the feds, still run by the Democrats right now, saying that there are plots to kill Trump and that the Iranians are behind it and that we're going to have to attack Iran so that, again, they can start staging these attacks as a precursor to assassinate Trump with a larger, more professional truck bomb or shoot down his plane with a surface-to-air missile, and then be able to blame Iran and get full war with Iran, who's allied with Russia and China, at the same time taking out Trump. That's what I see front and center in all of this.
Of course you do. Of course you do. This is such a boring conspiracy. It's all just trying to get Trump.
Yeah.
Great, man. And actually, when I was listening to that, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. You guys were freaked out about aliens a week ago.
Yep.
We moved on from that one.
Yep. Something different's happening. Yeah. I mean, sure. The ability to travel faster than light interstellar distances through four-dimensional space. Yeah, that's exciting. Mm. But, I mean, this is now.
Right.
You know, this is immediate. You know, like, what could you do for me lately with that kind of technology?
Yeah. People are paying attention to this right now, and therefore it's what we will.
It is.
We will forget about the aliens for now.
It is like it is so much often analogous to a gold rush.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Oh, I found a vein. Everybody's coming. Get over here. This is
except
you. Grab it.
Except it's in a world where, like, gold doesn't really exist.
Yeah.
That's basically how Alex's world works.
That's also not unlike a gold rush.
True. A lot of the time.
Yeah.
So the Army, they should have known about this guy, this New Orleans suspect.
It's also come out that the ISIS sympathizer that led the attack in New Orleans had been in trouble repeatedly when he was in the Army for radical Islamic affiliations and statements, but nothing was done. Again, continually, the intelligence agencies, the leadership of the U.S. military is protecting
these individuals, just like we see the FBI leading these different white supremacist groups that they're trying to get to go out and blow up power stations. This is all part of creating the narrative ahead of a cascade of big events, either before Trump gets in or after he gets in.
So the New Orleans attacker hasn't been enlisted for at least 4 years and ended his active service almost 10 years ago. Like, what sort of protection is Alex alleging here? Like, what information has come out? Like, don't worry, he's not going to tell you shit. Like, what are the specifics? What are the incidents and statements that he made that got him in trouble? What are you talking about?
What, have you not read page 80?
Be specific. A Click to Houston article describes this guy's military services, including 3 Army Commendation Medals, 4 Army Achievement Medals, and a ton of other distinctions. It fails to mention these alleged incidents of his Muslim extremism, though. I think Alex might just be saying this guy was a Muslim and no one stopped him from being a Muslim when he was in the Army.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but because he doesn't provide any specifics,
sure,
it's very difficult for me to assess what he's even talking about.
Well, the only thing that I thought is that perhaps he's thinking that we should have some sort of racially and religiously homogenous army, and I can't think of any situation where that's ever gone wrong.
Let me tell you this, he is.
Yeah.
More or less.
Yeah, I would say so.
He would not dare bite the bullet and commit to that viewpoint,
right,
but that is what is beneath his... You can't trust anyone who's not a white Christian.
No, and let's go ahead and say that gonna be all male.
Well, you don't want... You got to protect our women.
Got to protect the women.
That's why we have a
they
military.
They got to have babies.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, this clip is just racist.
Good.
Yeah.
Great.
Just good old-fashioned racism.
Fun. While he's on the slopes.
Right now, I want to look at what they said in the first few hours after the attack in New Orleans, where they brought out the DEI lady who could barely talk with a nose ring to say,
"Gah!
This is not terrorism." And then Senator Kennedy puts it aside and says, "Look, I already know what's going on. The feds better not lie. You better not try to pull this."
So, I mean, like, honestly, I think a lot of people have made the point that, like, saying something like DEI lady in this case, you're just trying to say the N-word.
Yeah, you're just saying the N-word.
That's all you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's so... it's so obvious and... I don't understand how he thinks he's doing anything different.
I don't think he could think that. To a certain extent, I would argue this. I would argue that both of us are saying the N-word. And you and I are saying the N-word in a way that puts, obviously, the word you know and love into your mind. But in a non-pain-inducing way.
Right.
And in his case,
non-weaponized, descriptive, talking about what he's saying.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. We could both.
You're unfortunately doing a Louis C.K. bit.
No. Fine. Whatever. Whatever. I think it's probably unacceptable that we're both allowed to do it like this. How about that? Great.
Well, it is unfortunate, but I think that, you know, that this is the new form that some of that, that abstract racism has taken.
I mean, I guess we're just going to, what would I say? Migrate. You know, we're just going to migrate. Oh, we caught you with DEI. That's the N-word. And then next week, it's going to be DEV. And you're like, oh, I didn't even think about that one. Well, which one does that mean?
And the thing that is, you know, how their ecosystem works is they'll be tired of calling people DEI by the time they'll move on to something else.
Yeah. By the time we all realize that that's the situation where we have to.
By the time people deal with like the way they're acting appropriately, they'll have moved on to another more fun code slang for
and
them
we'll
to express
all get to
their.
We'll spend our time doing the exact same cycle over again.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
Yep.
So you have one more clip here. Alex talks about some sources that he has.
You know, sometimes people... how about this, right? I remember watching peak Derrick Rose years. Rose on the Bulls, and then the game where LeBron James, he hits a three-pointer in the corner, right? Hits a three-pointer in the corner to win the game. Even while fucking David Blatt was calling for an illegal timeout that should have been called, that would have thrown out the three-pointer, they would have gone up 3-1. The Bulls would have beaten them. That was peak Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah. You know what that was? That was a gut punch loss right there. That was gut punch racism. Mm-hmm. When he said that, it genuinely hurt my gut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pointless. It's staggering. It's obvious. It's transparent.
Yep.
That's the
sound I felt.
Damn.
Yeah.
So we get to this last clip.
Yeah.
And Alex has some sources.
Okay.
A trusted law enforcement source in Texas reached out to me and just about an hour ago and said that there'd been an investigation already into this individual and others. And the last known address of one of his family members, his brother, is there in College Station there in Bryan. And that the police chief and others are aware of this and concerned. But so far, the feds haven't reached out to them and they don't see any federal activity there. So this is a big deal. At least three accomplices running around planting bombs, detonators, all of this. I'll play the little Fox News update on that in a moment. But I already cut reports this morning saying I bet more of this is going to happen. Then you've got the Cybertruck, now clearly an explosive blowing up, reportedly with the driver inside, probably detonating it. That's a message to Elon Musk and President Trump as a threat. 19 days till the president gets in. And so we've been predicting that we'd probably see some Islamic terror attacks connected to ISIS and Al-Qaeda here very, very soon.
Is it?
Sure.
Is it a message?
Page 80.
Sure.
Why not?
I think that I don't know who this source is that he has. I don't know what the veracity of the information is. And I can't even pretend to engage with it as anything other than Alex is saying this. But I mean, if it turns out that he's wrong, you can guarantee this will not be corrected. And it'll probably be an anomaly where the media covered up that there were three other accomplices who were running around planting bombs everywhere.
Yep.
Because information doesn't really matter. The story is what's important.
Yeah, he'd get bonus points if he defamed somebody along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I want to say, though, too, is this idea that Alex has, this urge to tell stories, applies to this Las Vegas Cybertruck that blew up at Trump's international hotel.
Sure.
Now, if we want to just play around and play games with storytelling, we could say that this is a warning to Elon and Trump from the left or from some radical Islamist.
I suppose.
Or you could look at it and say the weapon that was used is Musk associated on a property that is Trump associated.
Mm-hmm.
People have been really mad about Elon supporting immigration in a way that is an abandonment of what the Trump racist base wants.
Sure.
So you could see that maybe this is a statement of Elon being used as a weapon against the Trump agenda.
Sure.
If you want to read into it, you could do whatever you want. You can write whatever story you want. It has no bearing on reality. It's just what you're bringing to the pieces of information.
Sure.
Whatever I just spat out is just as likely as anything Alex has. And equally likely is... there isn't a giant metaphor.
I mean,
that's being worked out.
If anything, I would pull back real far, and I would compare this to a Buddhist monk lighting himself on fire. You know, that's far more directed, but the message ultimately is the same. Shit's too fucked up, man.
Hmm.
You know, and you can say that there's a political ideology that you agree with or disagree with about it, but what? That's a man killing himself saying shit's fucked up.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
No, and that's an argument of what could explain the circumstances that we see in front of us. That could be what he was doing.
Totally.
We don't know.
Totally.
We don't know.
Or it could have just been regular ass killing himself and he wanted other people to feel it.
That's true, too.
You know,
there are 100 possible explanations. But
yep.
Alex's obviously is going to be that it's an attack on Elon and Trump, a warning,
yep.
19 days from the inauguration, because that serves his interest,
which is an attack on all of you Trump loving, Elon loving supporters.
Which is why you got to fund my next vacation.
Obviously, it's personal.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the thing that I think is what you're talking about with the shit's fucked up.
Yeah.
That really is what you can take away from whatever the person's motivations were, whatever the story, we end up learning more information.
Yeah.
Externally, you can observe it and see, well, someone shot themselves and blew up a car. Someone drove into a crowd and shot people.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever this is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
The way that we operate is unacceptable. The way we respond to these things is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
The way Alex is responding to it is deeply unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably requires some sort of attention.
Yeah. No, if you...
Some sort of internal search.
If you consider it... I think the way to consider these acts now is considering where we are, far past where we should be.
Mm-hmm.
In any realistic terms, the way that you want to deal with this and the way you want to see it is ineffective because you saw it that way 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
And you tried to, tried to deal with it as it was 20 years ago. And here we are. I think now we have to look at it as part of a conversation. They are part of a conversation. Whether or not there's something that can be done about it.
You mean
it
people is not, like it Alex?
Everybody involved in this whole noise. This is a reaction to this. Mm-hmm. This is a reaction to this. And all of this is part of a conversation of people. It is not just these people alone, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that unless that conversation is somewhat altered, that we don't really have much of a chance of not ending up in pretty similar cul-de-sacs.
Yeah, it can't be treated the same way that it has been.
And that's not to say that, like, hey, there were these tragic events that happened,
sure.
And that means that, hey, get ready for a wave of... terrible attacks. It's mm-hmm. not. It's not like, oh, hey, this person had an ISIS flag, so we need to have a conversation about how we need to uproot ISIS. Or
right.
That's not what I mean, and I know that's not what you mean.
No.
What the conversation needs to evolve. Part of it is the way that Alex monetizes
mm-hmm.
and has an incentive to play these games in the wake of tragedies. Does not allow us to deal.
Right.
Does not allow anyone to deal with the reality that this is a tragic event that has impacted a ton of people.
Right.
Both in New Orleans, Las Vegas, wherever people are related to those people.
Right.
It's awful.
Right.
It doesn't allow us to deal with them as insulated or isolated events.
No.
What the particular circumstances of A and B are,
yep.
are being molded into one in mm. service of telling this Trump danger narrative.
Right.
And if we treat it as something that you need to respond to as like, no, this isn't a Trump
yeah.
thing or whatever, you're just going to ping pong back and forth.
Yep.
And I don't know exactly what the answer is, but it has to be a little different.
It can't be the same, yeah. Just can't. It's too late it's too late for us to consider that we've been doing it the right way. what we've been doing, it's a little late to be like, nah, let's stay the course on that.
Yeah, and that's not to say that everything that's, everything needs to be fundamentally altered, mm-mm. but like...
Yeah.
It's...
Yep. That's how I feel about it.
That's
was that
fair.
A Louis C.K. bit?
Probably.
I think it was.
So, anyway, Alex is skiing, so we'll see if he comes back to studio. But sorry, this is a little bit of a short episode. it is what it is.
It is what it is. He's skiing.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel, listener at home?
It's part of the war. yeah. It's really part of the war.
It is a response to...
For the Swiss National yep. Guard, those yep. troops have to ski.
That is true. That is true. The gendarmes are also involved, I
Alex
assume.
Is depatriotizing to the...
I like that.
The Swiss.
Expat.
Yeah, he's expatting to the Swiss.
Yeah, I like it.
He's going to go...
you know what? If it gets him out of here and out of the airs...
And
I'm fine with that.
Based on that fucking throat, I bet he needs some Ricola.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice.
Thanks.
Yep. That's a Louis C.K. bit.
Yep. Anyway, we'll be back. Until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.